Thank you, Brother Bradley. The other evening that she's actually married to my cousin, and I run into her and was talking to her, and she had her little grandson with her. He's about 9 years old, maybe not that old, but his granddaddy had just died. And she was telling me that when they went to the funeral, that little boy went up to the casket, and he said, Grandma said, why does Grandpa have his Bible in there? Said he's not going to be preaching no more. She said, well, honey, said, just lets people know that that's what he loved and that was his life. But whenever I die, I don't want my Bible in the casket with me. I won't need it. They have one where I'm going. The Bible said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. And so I'm glad for that tonight. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Hebrews tonight, chapter 6. And Hebrews chapter 6, and I want to look at starting in about verse 10. We're going to read down to verse 15 tonight and bring a message tonight. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10. The Bible said, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessings I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Thank you. Be seated. Our Father, we come tonight, and we always, Lord, covet, Lord, your presence and your help. Lord, we want to walk out tonight, and when Brother David turns the lights out and locks the door, Lord, we want you to be able to say, I'm pleased with what happened down there tonight. Lord, we want to ever live, Lord, to please you and do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Lord, as Brother Bradley said, Lord, we pray to have that Christ-like spirit, Lord, to abound everywhere and in every heart. Lord, as you look down tonight as our Heavenly Father, you know each child's needs, and I pray you'll minister to those needs tonight. Lord, there is some here tonight that, Lord, what they need is a Heavenly Father. And I pray tonight that, Lord, they might come, be birthed and to the family of God and adopted into God's family, become a child of God. There's no better thing to be in this world. Now, Lord, help me tonight, I pray. I've no desire to preach long, but I do desire, Lord, for what I say to have God's touch on it. And, Lord, we'll thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Russell Carter was a very, very talented man. He lived to be 79 years old. His name, Russell Carter, means nothing to you. But in his early life, he was an athlete. He was a very good athlete. And later on, he became an active Methodist preacher or minister and was a very successful and a very good minister. He also became a sheep rancher, and he raised sheep and took care of sheep and shepherded sheep. He went on to be a professor at a college. He was a publisher. And finally, the one thing that you know him for, other than it, he finished up being a physician, the thing that you will know him for is he was the author of the hymn, Standing on the Promises. And tonight, I want to preach tonight on standing on the promises. And my friend, there's plenty of them to stand on. I've never counted them all, but I have read after men that have tried to count them all. And they say anywhere from 3,400 to 4,000 promises in the Word of God. So there's plenty of them. The problem is not that there's not a promise for you to stand on tonight. But the problem is what Billy Kelly said years ago. He said most of God's people are not standing on the promises. They're just sitting on the premises. A lot of truth to that. Amen. I want you to know tonight that God's promises are precious. Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and 4, he said that there are many exceeding and great and precious promises that God has given to you and me that we might be able to live the Christian life. And if there was ever a man who stood on the promises, it is the man in our text tonight known as Abraham in verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he swore by no greater, he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Now, I want to give you some things tonight concerning standing on the promises. I want us to look tonight into verse 10 and through verse 15 tonight. And I want us to look tonight at some things that have to do with standing on the promises. First of all, we read tonight, verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. First of all, we see tonight that when it comes to standing on the promises, that we have something to remind us and something to help us to be able to stand on the promises tonight, is that we can see tonight that God appreciates you standing on the promises. The Bible says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. I want to tell you tonight, we're not working to be saved. We're a Baptist church. We don't believe in that. And I think that's been taught and preached enough around here that anybody that comes around here knows that we do not believe in working to be saved. But we do believe in working after we're saved. We do believe tonight, listen, I want to encourage you tonight by telling you that God appreciates you being faithful and what you do for God, that God appreciates it. The Bible says, for God is not unrighteous to forget. In other words, it's not right to forget something that somebody has done for you. That by the way of help and blessings and being good to you and ministering to you. It's not right to forget that, but people do. No doubt all of us we've helped somebody. We've worked to go out of the way to help a brother or a sister. Maybe only just to find out a few weeks or maybe a few years down the road that they forgot all about it. They mistreat us and do something in a way that maybe it hurts our feelings. We might even make the statement, why, I did this for them or I did that for them. That's human nature. People forget. But what I want you to see tonight is God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love for Him. God does not forget when you've done something for the Lord. If you've ever taught a lesson for God, He hasn't forgot a single one of them. If you have ever knocked on a door for God, He hasn't forgot a single one of them. If you have ever sung a song for God, He has never forgot a single one of them. If you have ever preached a sermon for God, He has never forgot a single one of them. If you have ever made a hospital visit for God, He has never forgot a single one of them. If you have ever given somebody a little money to help them along the way, God has not forgot a single penny of them. If you have ever given somebody a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, God has never forgot a single one of them. What I'm saying tonight, dear saint of mine, you keep standing on them promises because there's a God in heaven and He remembers every single deed that you have ever done for Him. Amen. God knows it all. God appreciates that. You see, we want to stand on the promises of God because God appreciates what you do for Him. Now, I wouldn't stand on my Bible. I reverence my Bible too much to stand on it. But I will stand on a piece of cardboard that has a verse written out of my Bible on it. What this says is, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Neighbor, I don't know about you, but I stand on that promise of God. Amen. I stand on the fact that I'm abiding in Him and He's abiding in me. And when I pray that God hears me when I pray, I believe tonight that we can stand on the promises of God tonight. Now, wait a minute. I want you to know that you will not stand on the promise of God without the devil and the world and even your own flesh trying to push you off of that promise. But whatever you do, you stand on the promise of God because God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, that you're standing on that promise, that you're counting on God to come through, and God will come through. You see, that's God's appreciation. But not only do we see God's appreciation, but we see God's motivation. In verse 10, the Bible says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. My motivation for standing on the promises, my motivation for doing what little I do for God is not that somebody might think I'm a good person. It's not that I might merit some kind of favor of God. It's certainly not that I might be saved by what I do. But my motivation for doing what I do is my love for Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, for the love of Christ, it constraineth us, because we thus judge if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. My motivation for standing on the promises, my motivation for staying with God is because I love Him. Amen. I love Brother Steve, but I'm not doing what I do because of Brother Steve. I love Brother Greg, Brother Briley. Fact of the business is there ain't nobody in this church that I don't love. But what I do, I don't do because I'm afraid you'll think I don't do what I ought to do. What I do, I do because I love Jesus Christ. He gave His life for me, and therefore I need to give my life back to Him and live for Him and serve Him all the days of my life. Amen. I'm talking about standing on the promises of God. Here's a good one to stand on. I've stood on this many a time. It's especially as a young preacher, now much more as an old preacher. Say, what does it say? Philippians 4:13. Said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I stand on that promise. Somebody said, Brother Rick, I don't know how you do what you do. Well, I do it because I stand on the promise. And the promise is I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. So I stand on the promise of God. Mama, you can do what you're supposed to do if you'll stand on the promise and don't get knocked off of it, don't get moved off of it, don't listen to the world, don't listen to the devil. I just keep standing on the promise of God. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So I don't know how to get through this thing. Stand on the promise. You say, well, I'm worried about 3 months out or a year out or 2 years out. Don't worry about that. Just stand on the promise. Amen. I'll stand on the promise today. Get back on it again tomorrow. Get back on it the next day. Get back on it the next day. And just stand on the promise of God. Motivation for doing it is my love for Christ. That's your motivation. For what you do for your children is your love for them. Amen. It's your motivation. For what you do for your wife is your love for her. It's not a chore. It's not a job. As I get older, me and my wife, as old saying is, takes two to make one good. If she's going to the kitchen, she'll say, do you need me to bring you anything? No, I don't need anything. And if I get up and I'm going, I'll say, do you need me to bring you anything? She'll say, no, I don't need you to bring anything. You say, why would you do that? I love her. She loves me. My motivation for doing that is the love that I have toward her, the love that I have toward my family. And it's the same thing with Jesus Christ. Amen. It's no problem for me to get up and come to church, Sunday school, worship service. You say, you do that because you're the preacher. No, I do that because I love Jesus. And if it ever comes to a place where I ain't the preacher, I'll still be getting up on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I'll still be going somewhere to the house of God. You say, why? Because I love Him, and that's my motivation, to please Him. Amen. Then there is my continuation. Look, that same verse, he said, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. A lot of people live in what they used to do. I used to go to Sunday school. I used to go to Wednesday night. I used to witness. I used to pray. I used to do this. Can I tell you, friend, that the Bible said, the Lord said, talking about the promises of God, the Lord said that you have done and that you are doing. Amen. It's not what I did back many years ago. It's what I'm still doing today. Amen. Amen. Yeah. There's a continuation in this thing. Now, I know there's a lot of folks that have already retired. I didn't retire. They retired me because they were going to make me start working every Sunday where I worked, and I just couldn't do that. The church asked me to come on full time, so I came on full time, and I quit. I didn't get full retirement. I got some, but not all. It's all gone. It's been gone since I was 62. But Brother Greg, Brother Steve, some of these other guys, I don't know, did y'all get retirement? Okay, did anybody in here get retirement? I need an illustration. Brother Wilbur said he got retirement, amen? And I understand that. I know there's some, and I won't call no names, but I know there's some that can't wait to retire. And I understand that, amen? Physically, I understand that. Now, you may retire from your truck driving. You may retire from the factory. You may retire from the hospital as a nurse. You may retire in your secular job. I understand that. But what I'm getting at here is there is no retirement in the work of God. Amen. You need to understand this. You need to understand that God may let you retire from your secular job so you can do more for the Lord. Now you got more time. You got more. Maybe you got more time. You might not have as much money, but you got more time. You can do more for the Lord now. When I was a young preacher, I preached a lot up in Muncie, Indiana, and Anderson, Indiana. The thing that amazed me when I went up there is that everybody up there was younger than I am now. They were about 65, most of them, somewhere along in there, and they were all already retired from GM and those motor company factories up there. As young men and women, they were all already retired from their job. But the churches back in those days were full, and there was plenty of workers and plenty of people to do something. They may have retired from their job, but they didn't retire from the Lord. Amen. There is no retirement from the Lord. Now I may get where I can't preach anymore. Somebody says you can't now. Well, I'm trying. I may get where I can't preach anymore, but just because I can't preach anymore, it don't mean that I still can't do something for God. Amen. I believe we're to work for the Lord. From the day God saves us, we need to work for the Lord all the way till He calls us home. We may not be able to do no more than pass out water, just be a water boy for God. We may not be able to do much more than just raise a hand, encourage the preacher or the teacher, but we need to always be doing something for God. Amen. I'm talking about standing on the promises. Boy, here's one I stay camped out on. You say, what does it say? It said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. And let that man ask in faith, not waver. For if he wavers, he's like a wave of the sea, and let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. And so 5 days a week, 6 days a week, 7 days a week, I'm standing on the promise. I'm saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. But Lord, you said you'd give me wisdom, amen. I said, Lord, I ain't a wavering, I ain't a tossing, I'm not a wave of the sea. Lord, I'm standing on the promise. And God, I need you to give me wisdom to know what to do. That don't just work for a preacher. That works for you. That works for a mama. That works for a daddy. That works for a little kid. That works for anybody. If you don't know what to do, stand on the promise. Amen. God's promised. He'd let you know what to do. I see appreciation. Look at verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Not only do I see appreciation, but I see a dedication. The Bible said, and we desire that every one of you show the same diligence. Now, it's not easy to stand on the promise. Well, let me rephrase that. It's not hard to stand on the promise. It's hard to stay on the promise. It's hard to stay on the promise. You see, the peril is that standing on the promise, standing on the promise, standing on the promise, day after day, week after week, hour after hour, month after month. You know what happens? What it says down in the next verse. And it says, and be not slothful. You see, the peril is that I get tired of standing on the promise. And so I want to sit down. I get lazy. I don't want to stand on it anymore. I don't want to quote it anymore. I don't want to remind God of it anymore. No, that's the peril. The devil does not want you to believe God's word. Get a promise out of there that applies to you. Throw it down on the floor and stand on it and believe God. Amen. That's standing on the promises. Look at some people in this same book. Look at some folks that stood on the promise. You see in verse 11, he says in verse 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through patience and faith and patience inherit the promises. I'm talking about standing on the promises. Well, where else better could you go to look at some folks that stood on the promises other than Hebrews 11? You go over there to Hebrews 11, and what you find there is you find a bunch of people that stood on the promise of God. Now, it wasn't easy. The devil tried to get them off of the promise of God. Let's look at Enoch. The Bible said Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him for before his testimony. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, we don't know a lot about Enoch, but we know this, that Enoch walked with God 300 years. We know that Enoch walked with God in a very wicked, godless time, much like what we live in today. But the Bible said Enoch walked with God, and he was translated that he would not see death. You know what Enoch did? Enoch just stood on the promise every day. He just walked with God every day. And no doubt the devil tried to get him to stop, to get him to quit walking with God, to get him to think God's not going to translate you. But Enoch just kept right on standing on the promise of God. Amen. What about Noah? The Bible said, by faith Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Amen. You know what Enoch did? Enoch stood on the promise of God. God said, Enoch, if you'll build an ark, I'll save your family. And Enoch, for 100 to 120 years, every day of Noah's life, he stood on the promise of God. There were probably days he didn't want to work. There were probably days that they all got into it while they was working. But Noah just kept on working and standing on the promise of God. You know what you've got to do, and I've got to do? We've got to keep walking. We've got to keep working, and we've got to keep standing on the promises of God. Amen. What about Abraham and Sarah? The Bible said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out not knowing where they went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You know what, Noah just kept working and standing on the promises. The Bible says that Enoch just kept walking and standing on the promises. Abraham and Sarah, They just kept waiting and standing on the promises. God had given them a promise. He was going to give them a promised son. And they're old men and an old woman, but they kept standing on the promises of God. You say, Brother Rick, what about that chapter with Hagar in there? Listen, you're going to get weak when you stand on the promises of God. There may be times the devil even moves you off of the promise of God. But what you got to do, you got to get right back on that promise once again. And you got to get believing God again. And we serve a God that's faithful to all the promises of God. Amen. And I see a pattern here. Look if you will, in verse 12. The Bible says, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see, when you stand on them promises, first of all, you got to have faith to believe that He is. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, but then you got to have patience. 120 years before Noah got in that ark. 300 years before Enoch was translated. Many years before there was a baby cry. But you know what that waiting period is? That waiting period is to see how much you really believe that promise of God. Are you gonna let go of it? Are you gonna give up on it? Are you gonna believe the promise of God? So we see that God appreciates it, what you do. You say, well, I did something 40 years ago, but I hadn't been doing much here lately. Well, God wants you to start doing something again, but He ain't forgot what you did 40 years ago. God ain't forgot that. And then motivation. We do what we do for the love of Christ. If we do it for any other reason, our motive's wrong. And your motive is just as important as the thing you do. In 1 Corinthians, it's the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible said every man's work will be judged of what sort it is. Really, what the Lord's saying is that every man's going to be judged for his motive. What I do for Christ, it will stand. Every sermon I preach for Him, prayer I pray to Him, witness I give for Him, that will stand. Anything I do for Ricky Prophet, because I think you might be looking or watching me and I'm trying to impress you, it'll go up in smoke. Our motive's got to be right. We've got to stay with it, continue in it. When it comes to receiving the promise of God, there's a good promise right here. Everybody in here can quote it if you know anything much about the Bible. It's Proverbs 3:5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, the Lord, and He shall direct thy paths. Boy, I like to stand on that. Amen. Boy, that's a hard one to stand on. Because when the Lord don't come through like I think He ought to come through, I start reasoning. Kind of like Abraham and Sarah mostly. And well, maybe God meant for this to happen. Maybe God meant for me to do this. Know what God meant's what God said. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean on to, not to thy own understanding. You see, to receive a promise, I don't have to understand it. I just have to believe it. God's promises are so great. God's ways are so past my ways. I can't understand God, but I can believe God. He said, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Could you imagine what our lives would be like if we all did that? If we all did that, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. I'm going to buy a car. God, which car do you want me to buy? Now, he told me to get that Bronco. Amen. Which car, Lord, do you want me to buy? Lord, how much do you want me to give? Lord, where do you want me to go today? Lord, what do you want me to do? I've often thought and tried to put it in practice many times, but I always somewhere down the line failed. But can you imagine what it might be like if every time we unlocked the door of our car and got inside and put our seatbelt on, our key in, we said, Lord, watch over me today. Lord, protect me today. Watch over me today. In all thy ways. Buying stuff I buy. Lord, is it okay for me to get this? Lord, do I need this or do I not need this? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. It's a tall order. Most of us are not going to do it 100%. But it's a promise I sure do like to stand on. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. How are you going to do this? I don't know. I'm just trusting the Lord. Which way are you going to go? I don't know. I'm just trusting the Lord. And when I get down here to the intersection, he'll tell me left or right. He'll tell me which way to go. I'm talking about standing on the promises of God. Lastly tonight, look in verse 15. The Bible said, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He got the promise.
Amen.
Because he was standing on the promise of God, he got the promise. His expectation one day turned into jubilation.
Woo!
Amen. You see, to stand on the promise, I must have an expectation.
That's right.
I must be expecting God to do what he said he would do. It's another way of saying I must believe or I must have faith that God will do. You say, well, how can I have that kind of expectation? Number one, because of the promise maker. You see there in verse 13, the Bible said, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. The Bible don't mean to our society what it used to mean. Used to, if you went down to the courthouse and they called you up on a stand to be a witness, which I've been there a time or two, and used to, you'd go up there and they'd have you to put your hand on the Bible. And they'd say, you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Now most of the time, all they do when you get up there, they'll say, raise your right hand and swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But you know why that 100 years ago, 50 years ago, that they would have, when a man come up to testify, they'd have him to put his hand on the Bible because they wanted him to swear by something that was greater than he was. You see, the Bible used to be looked upon by our world as the greatest book in the world. It still is to me. But a lot of people don't look at it that way. But the Bible said God made this promise to Abraham. Notice what it said. When God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater. You know what it is to swear? You know, your child, you know, you accuse a child of something and they say, Mama, I promised I hadn't. I swear on the Bible, Mama. What they're doing is they're saying, I swear by something greater than I am. Whether they realize it or not, that's really what they're saying. But you see, the one that made this promise, the one that made all these promises, he said, I can't swear by anybody greater than myself because ain't nobody greater than myself. So he said, I'm just going to swear by myself. the promise makers, God. A few years ago, they had this big movement going called the Promise Keepers, and I guess the gist of it was good and all like that, but the only thing is that once they got going pretty good, they found out that all the Promise Keepers were promise breakers. You see, there's only one real Promise Keeper. Some of us have kept some promises, but none of us have kept all our promises. But tonight, the one I'm trying to preach about tonight, he's kept all of them. He's never broke one of them. If he said it, will he not do it? If you will stand on the promises, and some promises are conditional, if you will meet the conditions of the promise, then God will keep the promise. Out there where we live on the Roseville Road, I don't know how long we've been out there, 35 years or 40? All right, when we bought that little house out there, I worked at the factories. The kids were all still home and in debt, head over heels. And when we finally went and bought that house, I put it on 30 years. You say, why'd you do 30 years? Because they wouldn't do 80. But they said, if you'll pay this amount for 30 years, every month for 30 years, they said, when you pay that last payment, they said, we'll give you a deed and it'll be yours. Well, it's mine now. You know why? Because I kept my promise. And because I kept my promise, they kept their promise. But if somewhere down the line I said, I'm not going to make any more payments on that, then they wouldn't have given me the deed. They would have took it back, and I wouldn't have got nothing. Now, some promises are conditional. Salvation doesn't have to be, happens not to be one of them. That's why we call it unconditional eternal security. But a lot of the other promises are conditional. And what God's saying, if you'll make the payment, God's saying, like here in verse 15, after you have patiently endured, you've done what you're supposed to do, God will fulfill the promise. And you see, because all the promises, I'm not going to ask you a stupid question. Don't answer it. But have you ever made a promise you didn't keep? Just one? I want to close tonight by looking over in 1 Corinthians. And I want you to see something tonight over there in verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. If you don't care to write in your Bible, circle that second word in verse 20. For all, 3,500, 4,000, ever how many's in there, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, and to the glory of God by us. You say, what's that mean tonight? Simply this. God keeps all His promises. They're all yea and amen in Him. There's a wonderful promise here. I love this promise. It's a very important promise. And some of you struggle with salvation, whether you've got it or you don't have it or what, you struggle with it. But I like this promise right here. Romans 10 and verse 9 said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm standing on that. I crawled on it at 10 years old. And I've been standing on it now, and I'll soon be 70 years old. Brother Rick, why do you think you're going to go to heaven when you die? Because I'm standing on that promise right there. And he said, if I would confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I did, and believe in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead, I did. God said, thou shalt be saved. I'm talking tonight about standing on the promises. Tonight, are you just sitting on the premises? Or do you need to get you a handful of promises, or maybe just one, and just stand on them? God has a promise for every situation. You say, where's it at? You'll have to ask God to help you search and find it. But once you find it and God gives it to you, you stand on it and don't move. Father, I thank you tonight. This little simple message tonight, but yet so